Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast. It was in 2013 that Pope Francis was leading World Youth Day in Brazil. And when he was there, he was talking to millions of young people. And one of the things that he said is he said, "Young people, if you have found the one that you love and you could commit yourself to marry that person, take that step, make the sacrifice, and commit yourself." I remembered at the time thinking, well, that seems like an odd thing to say to a bunch of young people. Hey, everyone, get married. You know, but it was prophetic in many different ways because what he was addressing is the inability for young people to be able to make commitments that are for their own good, that will lead them to prosperity and will lead them to happiness. And it's part of the problem that we have in our current culture, in our current society, that we have had an inability to be able to make sacrificial decisions and commitments that will ultimately lead to our greater happiness and fulfillment, and not only for our benefit, but for the benefits of others. And marriage is one of those institutions that over the last 60 years, or the last 50 years, it has fallen by 60%. There's a book that just came out this year written by Brad Wilcox, and the name of the book is Get Married. It says, "Why Americans Need to Defy the Elites, Forge Strong Families, and Save Civilization." It's an interesting title. It's a long title, too. It's a little hard to remember. But the reason for the title is it's an answer to the cultural trend that we tend to hear from the cultural elites that will say that, oh, don't get married. You know, don't do anything that would be considered institutional or anything that would be considered traditional. Instead, what you need to do is you need to follow your own passions, your own heart, live in some extreme form of individualism, and separate yourself from people and commitments, and then you will be happy. You know, maybe you'll find your happiness in some sort of political activism. But the problem is that this has been demonstrated over the decades to actually not be true. And there's been study after study that shows that marriage, for example, is something that will lead you to success, fulfillment, and happiness. So just to give you one example, there was a study that was done, and it showed a 50-year span. And over this 50-year span, what they showed is that people that were married were self-reporting happiness at a place that was 30% better than those who weren't. And so there was a direct causation and correlation when it came to marriage and it comes to happiness. And it wasn't just that, it was also about fulfillment in this life and success. So they took twins, and they had twins that were raised in the same household, that were raised in the same culture, and they had one twin that got married and one that didn't. And what they showed is that on average, there was a 26% better standard of living for those who were married than for those that weren't. And it also just demonstrates that with marriage as an institution, that it's something that although it is better for people's happiness and success, there's a whole lot of sacrifice that has to happen. And in addition to that, the sacrifice and commitment is something that goes counter to what we hear in the culture. When the culture just says, do what you want to do, never make a decision, never make any sacrifice, live for yourself, be individualistic. And this kind of life leads to anxiety, it leads to depression. And what they've shown is that those who have followed this influence that we have in our culture, it has led to increases in anxiety and increases in depression and even suicide. And if people would turn and to see that marriage is actually an answer against that. They would actually be more successful and more happy. And there's an additional part of this. In August, I gave a workshop on happiness, and in this particular workshop, I was showing that religious participation leads to an increase in happiness. So there was no difference between people said that they believed in God but they didn't practice their faith, but for those who believed in God and practiced their faith, they self-reported a 40% higher rate of happiness than those who didn't. And again, this is something that has been demonstrated statistically for many ways, that those who were actively religious, those who practiced their faith, they tended to be happier, they were more self-fulfilled, they tended to be more generous, they were more civically minded, and they were less isolated, less depressed, and had less anxiety. All right, you might be wondering, where's he going with all this? But the point of it is that God created us in a particular way. And we see that in the book of Genesis. In the first couple chapters of Genesis, it talks about how God created us. And God created us to be in connection and communion with Him, one another, and with creation. And in Genesis, it explicitly talks about marriage as being something that helps Adam and Eve to be able to have that proper relationship between themselves with God and creation. Jesus, in his own teaching, he takes that teaching of Adam and Eve and marriage and says that this is part of how we were created. This is part of God's plan, that a man and a woman will leave their families and become one flesh, and that will be something that will glorify God and bring them happiness and fulfillment. Of course, anytime you look at these sort of things, you might want to ask the question, but why? Well, if God creates us in a particular way, it only makes sense that if we conform to His way, and if we conform to His truth, and we conform ourselves to a way that brings life, then we will be more fulfilled, we will be happier, and we will be more successful in this life, and we'll have the proper relationships that will lead us to eternal life with God forever in heaven. And so this is kind of what Jesus is getting at with this parable. It's actually an allegory, but he uses this image of a vine, and he's saying that if we are connected to this vine, which is him, if we're connected to Christ, then we will have life. We will be pruned, and we will produce fruit, and we will have life. We will thrive. But if we're cut off from him, then we will wither and die. Now, we can understand that on a practical level. If you know a vine, if you take a branch off a vine, it cannot survive on its own. In a similar way, human beings are not intended, they weren't created to thrive on their own in isolation. And this is something that, it's a cultural lie. It just continues to say that, oh no, you don't need people, you don't need anything that brings people together, you don't need community, you don't need God, you don't need church. All of that is statistically proven to be incorrect. And Jesus is just saying that in this allegory is just of a fact that we have to be connected in him if we are to thrive in this life. He mentions a couple other things that he says, if we are connected in him, that we will be pruned. All right, what does that mean? Well, being pruned means that the Father will work on us. It might mean that we have to have some sacrificial areas in our lives, that we have to put maybe our desires and our preferences aside for something greater than ourselves, and that something greater will be God's plan. And that pruning is where there's a cutting away of those different aspects of our lives that don't conform to God's plan. And if you take a vine and you prune it, then that enables fruit to be produced much greater than if the vine were just surviving on its own. So this is just saying that God created us to be in connection with him, and if we're connected to him, we will love him, and we will offer our lives for his sake. He will prune us, or he will continue to lead us in ways that if we give ourselves over to him, that yes, we will have to have some sacrifices. We will need to do some things according to his plan that maybe we may not even like to do, like forgive enemies and things like that. But in the end, if we do that, then he will produce fruit in us. We will thrive, and we will help others to thrive as well. That we'll have those works of the gospel that will help others by producing the fruit that God wants us to produce. In another place, Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the way, meaning that's how we are to live, his teaching, his gospel. He is the truth. We can believe in him. What he says we know is true. And he is the life. He is what brings us happiness and fulfillment and a certain sort of life that the world cannot offer, even though the world continues to offer those lies and the world continues to try to lead people away from what brings us that ultimate fulfillment, happiness, and truth, and love, and life that we find in our God. So in this week, we might want to just consider a couple of these things. And so the first is, how are we connected to our God? Are we connected to Christ? And if not, we do have a way that he gives us in order for that to happen. And he expresses that in the gospel as well. He talks about us being connected in his word. Well, that's the Bible. He also talks about us being connected to the vine. Well, what do vines produce? Well, in this case, they're talking about a grapevine which produces grapes. What does a grape produce? Wine. What does wine produce? It's what we use for the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. And so it's talking about this connection that we have in the word of God in the gospel and in the body and blood of Christ we find in the Eucharist. And so think about how we're connecting to our God through scripture, through prayer, through celebration of the Eucharist, through our sacrifices, through our works of charity, all the different ways that we can keep God connected in our lives. And then the next part, are we allowing ourselves to be pruned? You know, maybe what are the things that we need to get rid of that are obstacles between us and our relationship with God? It might be our sin, it might be our preferences, it might be our laziness, but whatever it is, to open ourselves up to the ways of God so that he can work in us more fully. And then the last thing is the producing fruit. How are we producing fruit? You know, are we open to the ways that God wants us to bring his works, his gospel, his message, his love, his truth to those around us so that not only we can be fulfilled, but we can help those around us? Because the reality is that Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. If we're connected in him, we will have the life that God wants us to have. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.